will have a stake in. But what concerns me, Mike, is he goes straight past the many positives to the negatives.
So that was Paul Spoonley this morning. Jason Begani, 15. I think, yeah, you can review the immigration numbers. I don't think there's an issue with that. I think 15,000 is... I think it would destroy the economy, as somebody pointed out. There are 15,000 migrants helping out with the Canterbury rebuild alone. Anyway, Jason, what's your take on what Mr. Peters is saying?
Yeah, it's as if he's saying the New Zealand economy is doing well, it's growing, there's all these people want to come and live here. Let's stop them coming to live here because that will solve the economy. So, in other words, let's deal with the economy by reducing it. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. The new migrants contribute, I think it's about $2 billion a year to our economy, and that's not even including international students, which is one of our biggest export industries, which is about, I think, $2.3 billion. So Paul Spoonley's absolutely right that, yes, let's have a discussion about the numbers. Maybe it's happening too fast, too quickly. We need to look at infrastructure and housing in Auckland in particular. But the idea that we think this is a problem for our economy. Mm. For goodness sake, this is contributing to our economy.
Yeah, Mike, are you on the same page? I think generally immigration is good for our economy.
I think we have taken it way too far. I tend to actually agree with Winston. I think he's tapped into a very deep vein of public unease. The thing which I think is nuts, Larry, is that we are allowing record numbers of migrants into New Zealand when our unemployment rate is rising. We've got, 150,000 job seekers. If you go into service stations around New Zealand, the thing which I find bizarre, we've got a lot of recent migrants working in those low-pay service industry jobs. I was having a chat to a lovely Indian guy who's been here 3 months in the local petrol station. Now, why aren't unemployed Kiwis being required to fill those sorts of jobs? Why are we allowing internationals to take those jobs?
Right. Well,
but you've got to look at the figures, though, Mike. So, of the number of people coming in, about 25% are returning New Zealanders. About 40% are on the skilled migrants basis. So that's the IT specialists, the Christchurch engineers, the companies that 70% of our CEOs, the people that 70% of our CEOs say they need, otherwise they're going to go under, and they need them now. But you're right. I mean, there are people coming in on the family migration scheme, and I think there's some cynicism about, the Chinese takeaway in Ekitahuna going, advertising a job and going, must have Cantonese. Well, how many people in Ekitahuna have Cantonese? So it's a way of getting your family in. But that's a minor problem, Mike. It's a much smaller problem than you think. Most people coming in are coming in to help service our businesses that desperately need those skills.
I would raise a couple of points on that. First of all, as Larry has pointed out, supposedly there are 15,000 offshore workers in Christchurch supporting the rebuild. Talk to a lot of tradies around Christchurch. They claim there are hundreds of Filipino workers in the city happy to accept lower rates. So is migrant labour actually undercutting the domestic workforce? A lot of Christchurch tradies are going to Auckland. They cannot get work in Christchurch. And the other interesting aspect of this is Brexit, as Larry has pointed out. I think the Brexit campaign will squeak out a narrow victory because of the immigration issue in Britain. Yet when you break it down on a per capita basis, New Zealand's net migration in the past year has run at 3 times the level of Britain's.
Jason, I think that's a very valid point that Mike brings up, because Mr. Peters is a crafty old politician. He's a master at this. And if you look at Brexit in the UK, and if you look at Trump in the United States, a lot of that is immigration. People are worried about migration, particularly in this terrorist-ridden world that we have at the moment. They're concerned, and I can understand people having fears.
And as you know, I've just been overseas in Europe, and I met a lot of the MPs, some of the Labour MPs from the UK, and I think that the failure of the Remain campaign, so Stay in Europe campaign, is that they haven't talked to people who are genuinely worried. You're right, Larry. They're worried about the schools changing, that not being the resources to deal with English as a second language. They're worried about access to health services. They're worried about people coming in and claiming benefits and so on. So you've got to deal with those issues without saying, oh, a plague on immigration, we must build a wall like Donald Trump says, because actually we know, and even the Treasury report today says it, that we know that immigration contributes to our economy. We more people is actually good. There's not a country in the world
there is actually a fence there now. He wants a wall, okay? He wants the fence replaced. But anyway, I don't want to get into Trump at the moment, but because a lot of people actually agree with him. But anyway, Mike. So yes. Mr. Peters also says that Muslim countries treat their women like cattle. And he wants them to salute our flag, respect our laws, et cetera, et cetera. How do you view this one?
Well, I think that's probably Winston and flaming an issue in vintage form.
Surely not.
But, I mean, there is a degree of truth in what he says. When you look at some of the horrific crimes that have played out in New Zealand in the last few years, just the nature of those crimes, the brutality, you know, the burning of bodies being dumped. There is a slight cultural change there in the way some crimes are carried out. The other interesting aspect, though, to this debate, Larry, is I think a real voice of reason is Michael Riddell, the former Reserve Bank economist, who points to, you know, Auckland's housing problems. He continues to maintain that for every 1% rise in population, house prices go up by 10%. He supports slashing immigration to take the huge burden off young Kiwis trying to buy their food.
Just had some stats out, though, Mike, that showed us that the housing bubble in Auckland is much more to do with the 32% who are buying houses and not living in them. So speculation rather than
foreigners. Right, yeah, and I think you're right there. I mean, we need to also clarify, but that same economist, he said cut immigration to 10,000 and that would drop house prices in 2 years to 25%. All right, well, you know, everybody with $1 million home, you know, who's got 800,000, they'll love that one. But anyway, let's go to the other one. Josie Barnaby Perkins, the New Zealand Seniors Party spokesperson, who we were meant to be speaking to at about 5:15 this evening, and his phone's been in, you know, goes to voicemail. Good stuff. You know,
right.
Wanted to give him a chance. Fair sack of the sat, whatever. Anyway, we can't get hold of him. Is this party doomed, Josie?
Yeah. I mean, this is Winston again, isn't it? He must be thinking this is his constituency. Look, if elderly people in New Zealand think that they've been hard done by in this country, for goodness sake, the reason we don't have elderly poverty, extreme elderly poverty in New Zealand, is that we have universal superannuation. So I don't know what they're on about when they say they're being ignored and dictated to by politicians and overpaid bureaucrats. I mean, I think it's about $13 billion goes into super. But also, the biggest issue they can come up with is that they demand the right to be paid a pension from two countries.
Yes.
I mean, it's hardly a crime against humanity to expect them to accept one pension.
Right,
is it?
Called double dipping, Mike. Got a minute.
Exactly. That's what they should call the party, Larry, the double dipper party. I think this outfit looks like a grievance vehicle for grumpy old bombs. I mean, it's ridiculous, isn't it? To launch a party, making that your central beef, that you want to draw your overseas pension and your New Zealand super concurrently at full rate. Naff off.
Thank you, Mike Yardley from ZB in Christchurch, and Josie Bagani on the huddle. It's now 7:26.